So it seems to me that being a Christian, it seems to get more and more confused as time goes by. It seems it's being defined more broadly, more abstractly for some reason. But being a Christian, it means to strive to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It means to be a disciple of Jesus. It's always learning, always following after Jesus. We can't accurately define it another way. It seems simple enough, though we know it's not always simple, not easy. And admittedly, that's really part of what we're doing here each week, to take one more step in the way of Christ, one more step toward Jesus, trying to learn how to really be his followers. We get to continue digging into the Gospels this week. We're reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" This is a pretty familiar scripture for us if we've spent much time in church, though it's not necessarily one of those beloved scriptures. It's not like "the Lord is my shepherd" that people like to memorize and to put on their Christian bookmarks or on their walls. I don't know anybody who's got a nice quilted tapestry on their wall with these words from Jesus: "If you want to be my followers, deny yourselves, take up your cross and follow me." It's probably not really the first thing we want to see on our wall when we come home. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, lose your life. Not so warm and fuzzy. But Pastor Susan Johnson says that this passage is perhaps the most unequivocal statement of Christian discipleship anywhere in the New Testament. Jesus doesn't beat around the bush here. He's told parables, he's been sharing the good news, and now he's just got to lay it all out on the table for us. This is really what I'm here for. And Jesus starts to show them that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer, and die. And if anyone wants to follow him, here's those hard words again. He says, "You must deny yourselves, must lose your life, take up your cross." It's not the good news we're really wanting to hear. Earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has similarly challenging words for the disciples. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. But the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it." To say yes to life, we have to enter through that narrow gate, go the hard way. Only the narrow gate and the hard way lead to life. There's a story about a young businessman who was eager. He was eager to make it to the top, and he went to a well-known, very successful businessman, and he asked him what the number one reason was for his success. What the number one reason? And the businessman answered without hesitation. He said, "The number one reason is hard work. Hard work." And after a lengthy pause, the young man said, "Well, what's the second reason? What's the second reason?" It's not what we're wanting to hear. This is not what the disciples are wanting to hear. The scripture says that Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Peter began to try to rebuke Jesus, which is always a really great idea, right, if you've tried it. And so Jesus responds to Peter. He says, "Get behind me. Get behind me, Satan." Peter's got his mind on earthly things, on ordinary human things, not on divine things. He's missing Jesus for who he is. He's missing the God in front of him for his own ideas, his own agenda. And Jesus rebukes Peter here and all of us for this tendency that we have to wrap ourselves up in our own agendas, to so often keep our focus on ourselves, on the things of this world rather than God. Get behind me, he says. Jesus is telling us, get behind me. This isn't just a location behind Jesus. This is Jesus telling us what it means to be a disciple. Get behind me. Follow me. Disciples follow behind Jesus. If you remember way back in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, after they disobeyed God, Adam and Eve went to hide away. They went to hide away from God, and God called out to them. He said, "Where are you?" And physically, God knew exactly where they were. What God was really asking was, "Where are you in relation to me? Where are we in relation to God? Are we living life with God? Are we standing behind Jesus? Are we picking up our cross to follow?" The Gospel of Luke adds the word "daily" to this line. Pick up your cross daily. This isn't just a one-time thing, but a daily decision, a daily walk, one step at a time. One pastor said that we think giving our all to the Lord is like giving it all at once in like a blaze of glory, like taking a $100 bill and laying it on the table. "Here's my life, Lord. I'm giving it all." But the reality for most of us is that it's more like God sends us to the bank and has us cash in that $100 bill for quarters. And we go through life putting out 25 cents here, 50 cents there. We take the time to listen to someone who needs to talk, even though we're really too busy to stop. We visit someone in the hospital or in the nursing home. We say yes to helping with something, even though it's easier to say no. Usually giving our life to Christ isn't glorious. It's done in these little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. And there's joy and there's life along the way. But it'd be easy to go out in a flash of glory. It's hard to live the Christian life little by little over the long haul. Each day we're trying to make this difficult decision again to try to take another step out of the ways of the world and step again toward Jesus, the cross. The way of Jesus is not the way of the world. That much is clear. The cross, denying yourself, this is not what our culture considers the good life. Doesn't fit with the American dream. And these ways of the world, these easy roads, can try to lure us away from the narrow way of Jesus. But Jesus reminds us, what will it profit us if we gain the whole world but lose our soul? We can have everything on the outside, everything that the world is selling, but all of that is nothing if inside our world is collapsing. What good will it be if we gain the whole world but lose our soul? So there's a little bedtime prayer that lots of kids pray. This prayer I did when I was little, and I'm sure you know it. It goes, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." And that's where I stopped as a kid, right? That's where I stopped when I was little. But the prayer goes on after that, and it says, "If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And it can be scary words, I think, for a kid. The writer Anne Lamott wrote that prayer so did not work for me. "Don't be taking my soul," she said. "You just leave my soul right here in my 50-pound body," she said. Last night after church, one of our older members came up and she told me that she still prays that prayer. Only now it gives her great comfort, knowing who is keeping our soul. We may like our lives, the way things are. We may want to hold on tight to ourselves, our lives, our hearts, our souls. We can have this tendency. But I think there can be a danger for us to miss something in all of this. This may seem like it's only bad news, only hard work. We might just hear this part about how Jesus has to suffer and die, and you might have tuned out and missed the rest. Maybe that's what happened with Peter. You hear suffer and die. You hear deny yourselves, pick up your cross, and that's it. You hear lose your life. Well, that's not it. There's more. There may be a cross. But with Jesus, there's also a resurrection. We may find that in some way we have to lose our life. But in Jesus, really, what that means is we find it. We find true life, abundant life with God. As we step closer to Jesus, we may be losing the ways of the world, but in the glory, the victory of Jesus Christ, we gain a whole lot more. I went to an ordination service a few years ago for a friend who was just starting her ministry. And during the service, the preacher looked at my friend and he said something to her that we might need to remember sometimes. He said, when you're struggling, like the weight of the world is on your shoulders, imagine Jesus sitting there on the ground with you, and you being the child of God that you are, crawl into the lap of Jesus, lay your head on his chest, and receive the love and the grace that only he can bring. There was a man whose three-year-old son, who is now a grown man in his 30s, used to approach him when he was tired or frightened or just needed to be held. And the little boy would reach out with his arms and say, "Hoja, Daddy, Hoja," which was his three-year-old version of "Hold me, Daddy." And years later, the father recalled that his son came home from work one day and discovered that his wife had left for another man. And he was devastated. He called his dad and asked if he could come over, and of course he could. And so he got in the car and he drove the 5 hours to his parents' home. He walked in the door and collapsed into his father's arms. And it was almost as if his father could hear him crying again, "Hoja, Dad, Hoja." When we reach out to God, we're lifting our souls up to be nurtured and healed and loved. And we have a God who takes us up, who keeps us, our lives, our souls, in his presence and his care. Jesus Christ is the one who receives us on the other side. When we're willing to let go of our life, to day-to-day step closer to the life God calls us to. When we have the courage to deny ourselves, to daily take up your cross, abundant resurrection life is waiting. Loving arms of Christ are waiting to enfold us and hold us tight.